The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome back to Star Wars Minute. It's the daily podcast where we analyze, scrutinize, and celebrate the Star Wars movies one minute at a time. I'm Pete the Retailer from PeteTheRetailer.com.
I'm Alex Robinson from ComicBookAlex.com.
I'm Todd Cooper from FelizNaviPod.com.
I'm Tony Thaxton, also from FelizNaviPod.com.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure that you were... Like, you were from the show, but not the website, where Todd somehow got the website.
I genuinely got sucked into the thing and got nervous and said .com because you both said it.
I think I did the same thing the first couple times I was on the show, where I felt I had to because they did. Yeah,
I got peer pressure. Right.
Yeah.
It's like, do you want to do another one? We can start over.
No heavens. I won't keep it.
Okay. Thank God we have a .com. If we had a .net or something.
It would be a waste of a plug.
Why? You're just throwing your money away with a .net. Yeah.
Oh, we probably wouldn't even have had you guys on if you had a .net, to be frank. So.
To be frank, .net.
Oh, now you have to buy that.
I wonder if that's... All right. If that's not taken... Somebody just went there and they got to our show and they were happy about that joke. Good. So that joke just paid off for somebody, or they're at some like, this domain is for sale, and then they're disappointed. You know,
Pete has to buy every domain name mentioned on the show.
Is that part of it?
I don't have to. I choose.
But you like to.
You actually do.
I often do.
Yeah. How many domains do you have?
Oh, too many.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, they're so cheap. It feels like you're getting away with something when you buy a domain.
But like potato chips. You can just get one and like finish the whole sleeve.
Well, it's like, you know, whatever it is, $10 for a year is worth it for a joke. If we make a stupid joke with a .com, then, you know, all right, that's worth $10. Then after a year, it expires.
Do you put anything up?
Usually, I just have them either go directly to our site, or if we made a joke around it, I'll have it go to something involving that.
Like, got it.
Like often like an Amazon search for something that we were talking about or some other weird random thing from our show or whatever.
Didn't this show basically start because you had the domain StarWarsMinute.com?
No. There are other things that did start because I bought domains.
Oh, that must be
your wife's name. You got married to her because you had the domain.
I was like, I own your .com, so right. I made an agreement with your parents, and now
it was the powerful joining of two internet families.
Yeah.
Tycoon.
Goes back to the ancient tales of the dots and the coms, who formerly were two separate tribes.
Thanks for coming on the show, guys. We'll be back tomorrow with another...
Like, this is what happened last time we were here. Just immediately right off
just
track.
Just the dumbest show ever. I told Tony, I was like, are you sure that they're willing to have us back?
Thank you for keeping my streak alive.
Yes. Well, that was, you know, the main thing. So we have, you know, we're worried if we break them, they'll be... there's some news, though. The lounge, the now seven seasons in a live show lounge has been renamed. It was the Chris Radke Memorial Lounge because he got there first.
Yeah.
This season, it's the Josh Flanagan Memorial Lounge because he just got there.
Right. Well, this gives me something to aim for.
Different paints, different, you know, you might have noticed that as you came in on the glass, it was different, or they were working on that still. We have that droid.
Now, Todd played music at one of our live shows. Does he count? Does that count as being in a live show?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
So you can go in there.
Yeah, you also answered some questions and all that.
That's right. I did all right.
Yeah.
I talked on that thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You're a talker.
Around it, it's not bad.
Yeah,
you were a talky man.
Yeah, I'm a talky boy. I'm not too scared.
Well, hopefully, we can all be talky boys about this minute 36 of Star Wars Episode 7, The Force Awakens. You know, how it'll be until the end of the movie before I remember clearly exactly all the time that it's Episode 7 and it's The Force Awakens.
You're still writing Return of the Sith on your checks.
Yeah.
Return of the Sith.
I know, I was gonna say, and that's not even right to begin with.
Yeah. I like that that's what you were laughing at, Tony. Like,
first I thought everyone was laughing with me, then they were all laughing at me.
I was genuinely laughing with you. I'm on board.
I was laughing at the idea of writing checks in 2018.
I had to write a check recently and I was like angry. As I was trying, I was like, why am I doing this? Doesn't seem right.
It is weird. It's just totally a formality. We pay our rent with a check still.
I think it's the only time I write a check.
Yeah. it's like a bit anymore. Like, you give someone a check, it's like, right? Remember this?
Pony Express.
Yeah. Have somebody deliver it. Like
Disco rules. Okay, bye. You have to say that when you hand them the check. Okay. Sorry.
Don't spend this all at the soda fountain. Well, to minute 36 of The Force Awakens. It starts with the Millennium Falcon flying into the engine of a Super Star Destroyer. Just right up the backside of a Super Star Destroyer.
Hey, now.
And it ends with Rey and Finn discussing how cool that was, what they just did.
Nothing can compare to the sound of the Millennium Falcon being chased by TIE fighters.
It's pretty great. Best.
It is the classic sound of Star Wars.
Yeah, that was not Millennium Falcon specific, but just when Disney bought Star Wars, the first new thing we got was Rebels. Mm-hmm. And watching the first episode of that, the first time I heard TIE fighters again, like, you know, new, but hearing that same sound, that was like so, it was just like comforting. It was like, it's back. It's actually back.
Ben Burtt probably deserves more credit for Star Wars.
Oh yeah.
Well, maybe not credit for the success, but definitely that's what has lodged in our brain all these years. The sound.
Yeah. The long term success, maybe the continued success. That we all like. We were all just easily brought back there.
That's that nostalgia button, man. Yeah. That's the sound thing. Did you guys watch Friday Night Lights?
Yeah,
I did.
Did you ever notice that in the background of that stupid show, there are always like those. TIE summer fighters? Bugs. There's always TIE fighters.
Cicadas?
Yeah, cicadas. Mm. Summer bugs, I call them.
Right. Summer
but
bugs.
Always like any scene that's like kind of dreamy and like supposed to feel like you immediately feel nostalgic for it and you're watching it right now. Uh-huh. But you're like, this feels like my high school. It's just those like sounds that remind you of something. It's like the same thing with the TIE fighter. Like it just sucks you back into your child. Like all those sounds are so substantial. Sounds a big deal for that.
Yeah, absolutely. I do want to hear TIE fighters in the background now. If like go back and watch Friday Night Lights with just like
just Riggins, right. Just getting ready to catch
Texas
a ball.
Forever, or vice versa. The TIE fighters flying and sound like cicadas.
Summer bugs,
man. I didn't know Pete was such a Michael Winslow over here.
Then the TIE fighter played electric guitar.
Might have sounded something like this. You guys, this is maybe one of the best Star Wars movies.
You think so?
Yeah, I love it. I
do too.
So excited to get to talk about this one. Last time I complained a lot about that other movie. This movie is so good. And this scene is one of the best scenes.
We saw this together the first time, opening night.
Just where was that?
We're Star Wars married.
Right.
Yeah.
That's the way it works.
Our wives were there too, but we won't talk about
and they're
that.
Star Wars married.
Yeah.
It's so good, this film. Yeah. But this scene in particular, so epic. This scene where the Millennium Falcon goes upside down, like that kind of a trick feels very Star Wars. It just, this thing bleeds Star Wars. It just feels true to the thing. I love it.
It is. It's a good, we were talking about this earlier, that it's a lot of things that are new but feel like Star Wars. And that's like, that's the perfect balance that they had to hit, and they did, that they with a lot of things.
Well, one of the new things is this the first time we've ever had like that super fast zoom in?
I think so. I wrote I don't know if we've seen that before in this, but certainly not in previous movies.
Yeah.
I don't think, did we do that in maybe in, they threw in Because remember in the prequels, they like to every once in a while just throw in a shot that's not a Star Wars shot at all. It's just like
Yoda on the carrier when it's taking off an Attack of the Clones.
Yeah, or like the like
it's like, it's like a World War, like a Vietnam thing, where it's like out of focus for a second and then it can.
Yeah. Or like C-3PO's point of view when he when he put his eyeballs in and it's like, why am I seeing, like, this isn't Star Wars? Stop. Wait, what's going on? Camera's supposed to be locked down. No movement. Lots of editing.
That shot of that video game that kept happening for a whole scene.
Right.
That dumb movie.
Good old Droid Factory.
Yeah, this is definitely...
You still shop at the good old Droid Factory?
Next to Burlington Coat.
Right. Burlington Coat, good old Droid, cheesecake.
Spaghetti.
Oh. I wish I had a video of that so I could just cut that out and just have a little loop. Like, if Vine still existed, you excitedly being like, spaghetti! Like, as an argument.
It's very Return of the Jedi. Very... It seems so... screwy to have the Falcon, this giant ship flying through these little tiny narrow things.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's always
absolutely
always classic.
Right.
Boy, a lot of room in those Star Destroyers, huh? If you could pilot a whole ship through the motor.
Mm-hmm. All over the place. Yeah.
It's mostly hollow, those ships, I guess.
Yeah. Well, it's just, the size is just to impress people. It's just for show, and then inside it's all... It'd be funny if it was just like a big open case, and then inside was a little Star Destroyer, like a regular Star Destroyer.
It's a smart car inside. Right.
Yeah.
it's just a giant insecure ship.
Yeah.
It's tiny inside.
So Finn is in the bottom gun, right?
Yes.
So while they're flying, all Finn is seeing is the ground beneath him, right? He's not seeing, like, he can't look ahead and go, oh my gosh, where are we going? He's literally just looking down, seeing, basically he would be looking straight ahead and everything's just dropping in front of him, sort of.
I have never understood that about the Millennium Falcon.
How you go from, you climb down a ladder and then when you get to the bottom of the ladder is behind you, like, in your... Right. Yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah,
the gravity shifts from.
It's always
because
hurt my brain.
Well, there was that. It's because the original design of the Millennium Falcon. Did we talk about this on the show? I think we did. The original design of the Millennium Falcon was what eventually ended up becoming the Blockade Runner.
Right.
So when they were filming these, the Millennium Falcon looked like the Blockade Runner. So they just went to the back, and then those two gun pods were supposed to be on either side, basically. So they would go. To the back, I think. Oh no, where does the ladder come into it? I don't know. It's all made sense once.
It is. I never have thought about just the visual, but it's also like those ships are huge. Right. Like there's one tiny cabin compartment on the edge of this giant ship that they're looking out of, and I mean, taking that into account, but I guess in space where like things are all around you, you could be aiming down with your in your little turret.
Yeah, space doesn't matter as
much. In that old ship, boy, oh boy, it really matters.
And also, I guess you can't, if someone's chasing the Falcon, you can't shoot back at them because your gun is facing the ground.
Wait, doesn't it also shoot horizontal to the Falcon?
I guess it does.
Well, and also, isn't there two? Because, I mean, right now we're only using one, but Luke and Han both were using... So there's the other one. But again, I don't understand the layout.
It's almost like a hamburger. So the Millennium Falcon is the meat. Uh-huh. And then the guns can basically shoot where the bun is. Each gun can shoot where the bun goes.
Now do you understand?
I want one of those visual dictionaries to have that exact synopsis written in there.
Oh, crap. Like letting the air out of a balloon.
Yeah, can you draw that for me for sure? Just draw a picture of the Millennium Falcon on a bun.
Uh-huh.
So top bun and bottom bun, and we'll put a little arrow to the pointing at the buns that says where the guns can go.
just a dotted outline.
Yeah.
Just pointing.
All right.
Gun radius.
That's our next bestseller.
Oh, man.
That shirt is called Buns and Guns.
Hot merch.
Finn decides at this point to ask, as they enter the Super Star Destroyer, he asks, are we really doing this? Mm-hmm. And that's a weird question to ask, because yes. They're already kind of in the midst of doing this. And I know it's rhetorical. I know it's his method of speaking.
Yeah.
You know, he's that's his kind of lingo. But still, it's a little like... I don't know. It seems odd, just a little bit odd to me. Not fully a criticism, but
you're saying it's a big plot hole.
I'm saying it's a plot hole. Let's hear top five plot holes in this scene.
I'm supposed to believe that they're shooting guns at this old ship, and somebody says that's supposed to make sense to me. I don't like science fiction. Yeah. I had the same response to it when I heard it, but then I was like, I could hear that line. Luke Skywalker would definitely have said that in Star Wars or Empire Strikes Back. Like, it sounds like the kind of thing. It's like writing dialogue for that kind of scene is like, what do you write?
Right.
Like, what kind of, like, what is someone saying during something like that? Like,
right.
Oh boy. Wowzers.
The original draft was, dude, what the heck?
Is that right?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
He doesn't say that in it, does he?
It's essentially what he's saying.
Because I can easily hear that.
Well, I would love to see this.
Are you serious right now?
Like, they're just like, you know, doing a bunch of takes of this. They're like, all right, just go. You don't know what you're about to fly into a Star Destroyer, so you don't know. He's like, are we really doing this? Are you serious? Is that...
We got it. What?
And just kind of kept doing it and just kept doing different ones. He's like...
That's a cut. We don't need to do it again. Moving on.
He's just doing more and more. Like, wait, this us in here now?
And is he saying it to him? Can they hear each other? Is he wearing a thing or yeah. are they? He's I can't
wearing
remember.
A thing. He's wearing a piece.
He is wearing a piece.
Yeah,
okay.
They're chatting back and forth.
I couldn't remember.
Is he
was.
Wearing one? They were, but the Ray I think stopped responding because she's like in the zone.
Yeah.
So that's another thing. If this was a Luke Skywalker thing, he'd be like, "Are we really doing this?" And Han would be like, "Shut up, kid." You know.
Yeah. That's
but
true.
This is just it's maybe because nobody answers. It's weird.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That might be what makes it seem so throwaway.
Right.
You think she should have said yes?
Yes, we are doing this.
Yes. Now pay attention.
Blimey.
Oh, don't think you're going to shoot your gun. She's so British.
How British is she?
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait till you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I like that when the TIE fighter gets a bead on the Millennium Falcon, like it shows up in the targeting thing. Like,
yeah.
You really need a targeting computer to hit the ship the size of a Millennium Falcon. True. Like, oh, I gotta wait till it's right in the middle now. Like, the thing is gigantic.
Yeah. It's made for, you know, they're mainly made for dogfights, ship-to-ship combat. So it's a different system. But yeah.
System.
But it also shoots it right in the heart.
Yeah.
You know, it targets it up to take that sucker down.
Mm-hmm.
I assume.
Right. Yeah, and we get that awesome... We had a cooler... We had one of these shots, the kind of shot of the TIE fighter pilot. A couple minutes ago, we had it, but it was like well-lit daytime shot. And now that they're inside the tunnel, we get this cool, much more like the original Death Star trench run of like the red light and just kind of like cool-looking TIE fighter pilot.
How do you feel about the black TIE fighter?
I think it's a little bit... quote-unquote cool, but that's okay.
I know. I agree with you, but it totally works for me. Like, yeah. I think they're cooler looking than the old ones.
You guys both sound like you want to dislike it, yeah. but yeah. you can't admit that you thing. Like it.
It's like, I want to be, it's like kind of curmudgeonly and be like, that's just stupid. They just painted it to look cooler. Yeah. And I was like, but it does look cooler.
Yeah, totally. And isn't this like red stripe yeah. kind of thing too?
Well, they did a whole description of that somewhere in the...
Of course they did.
Yeah, there's a whole Wikipedia description of why they have red stripes. I think we talked about that. Yeah.
Really?
It was a shout out to the great flyers of the Old Republic oh, yeah. or something like that.
Yeah. The great rock and roll show flyers.
Do you guys think the actor, I cannot remember his name, the actor who plays Finn.
John Boyega.
John Boyega.
Thank you. So good in that film, his first film.
Attack the Block.
Thank you. Yes. So good in
I
that.
I wish this was a game show. Yeah.
You guys are killing it.
It was much better than that other one with the...
he's so good in that. In this one, I feel like the direction must have just been like, cool, let's do it again. Tone it way down.
Right.
Just way less of that. I feel like everything comes in so hot with his delivery.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I like him still, but
yeah.
it is like... In Attack the Block, his delivery is so mellow and so good. And this, it's just rowdy.
I wonder if that's partially him having an American accent, too. If, like, that's the only way he can...
Here's how Americans talk.
Right, exactly. Maybe he thinks Americans are loud, so he's all like... It's like, yeah, dude. Like,
are we doing this?
We're totally doing this.
Which, apparently, he was going to do it with a British accent. And then they switched. Then they had him switch.
Yeah.
Why?
Well, we don't know yet. Maybe there'll be a reason.
Oh, because he's not there's no such thing as Britain.
Well, there's...
yes. That might be part of it.
In Star Wars or yeah. in our reality.
In real life, yes.
It's, yeah. Usually it's the opposite. The Empire, you know, all those guys were British, stodgy British accents.
Right.
And then the rebels and our heroes are all cool, like California accents.
Except for Obi-Wan.
Right.
And Rey.
And now Rey, because Rey is British.
So which, yeah, it's interesting that they're both British, but he does a...
It might be just that it would have been too much British. Like, it might have been a little much in those shots. Like, if they were both Britishing at each other.
That was why early on, you know, before the movie even came out or anything, I remember knowing that she was British and he was British, but that he was doing an American accent. And then so I was early on the, like, she's Ben Kenobi's granddaughter and... You know, I don't think that anymore, but that was literally my main reason for thinking that.
Say British accents.
Yeah. Right.
Well, why not, like, she's Admiral Piette's granddaughter or something, you know.
How do all British actors do a killer American accent, but no Americans do a good British accent? Like, there can't be any American actors who, like, the English people are like, that's pretty good. Like, I feel like British people are like, not even close. Like, they're angry every time.
I'm just trying to think of other... I can't even think of any, like, maybe they just don't get as much opportunities?
That's possible.
Because I can't even think of any, like, British shows, like, I guess The Crown or something that...
Yeah, but...
I mean, obviously there's a lot of British TV shows, but not...
What's his neck... the funeral movie. Oh, this is another game, part of the game.
Oh boy,
Four Weddings and a Funeral.
Maybe that's it. I can't think of what it's called. Oh, I'm sorry.
The Pallbearer, starring David Schwimmer.
There you go.
No,
did he direct that too?
Maybe.
Oh boy,
there was a dark comedy a few years ago.
Schwimmer vehicle.
Bernie.
What, Sanders?
No, the movie Bernie.
Weekend at Bernie's?
Weekend at Bernie's, yeah. Right. I can't. I'll never remember. Never mind. Forget it.
All right.
I blew it. An American doing a British accent.
I love seeing the underside of the Millennium Falcon.
Yeah.
Always
a
cool, especially since it kind of changes in the light because it goes from being the bottom to the top. I think that was really cool looking.
Yeah.
See that bottom bun?
Yes. The part without the sesame seeds on it.
Right.
It's like, oh, that one's all...
It's flat and soggy.
What's the mustard in this scenario?
No mustard.
Oh, okay.
It's an Alex burger. It's just nothing. It's just meat and bread.
Straight ahead.
Mm-hmm.
No
meat and bread. Straight ahead. That's what you say when you walk into like In-N-Out.
Is that really what you do? Just bread and meat?
That's me.
Wow.
Bread and meat.
Not even cheese.
I don't like cheese.
What?
It's weird.
It's coarse.
It's not that
everywhere.
I don't like it. It's just I don't seem to be the fan of it that everyone else is.
Right.
I think it's more of a texture thing. Like, it's not quite a liquid. And it's not quite a solid. It's like gum. It's like eating a big thing of gum. Everyone hates gum, right?
Yeah. Nobody likes gum.
Everyone hates eating gum. You're right about that. Yeah. Like, the idea of chewing and swallowing gum seems very gross to me.
Yeah, well, I pictured when you said that, just like a burger with a square of gum on top. I'm just biting into it, and it's like double mint. Just like,
Or maybe that pink, collectible card gum.
Oh, where it's just like cracks
into like tiny little shards. Anyway.
Yes. Ray's little maneuver.
The Ray maneuver.
Raymond Uver. It's pretty fantastic. And it's a great, another great, I'm not going to lend any credence to the, like, oh, why is she so cool? She could do everything. Of course, well, we know that she's, spoilers, later in the movie, we find out that she is strong with the Force. And so that's all, you know, we'll keep pointing out stuff like she has, you know, remember Anakin had to, he can see stuff before it happens. He has Jedi reflexes, like, so this is, it's good stuff. And we know that she's been piloting, later in the minute. So this is interesting. So we'll go. I'm sorry, I'm skipping forward just to bolster my argument here. It's not an argument. So this is not an argument.
You're not mad. You're just pointing.
I know you. It turns out later near the end of the minute, when they're both talking at the same time, she says she's flown some ships, but she's never left the planet, mm-hmm. which is interesting. Because it's like, she seems really good at it.
Yeah.
So I guess she just like flew it around, you know, in the atmosphere. Like
she's like the valet. Move the cars from one lot to the other lot.
Oh, I've never driven on the road. No.
It does seem like in that scenario, ships are almost like kind of like cars, but everyone I don't know, it's like almost like this is, bear with me, it's almost like horses or something. Like if you drive a horse in a city, you gotta like stay with it. I'm really working at this, but like if you're like got a lot of room, you might go crazy, like hop over some stuff and run around and go crazy times. And I feel like she lives in a place where there's a lot of space to go nuts. She can put some stink on it on a ship, kind of figure it out and do all the maneuvers. And so I think,
or even like driving a car around like a rural
town. That's a better example.
Where you can do that's when like the kids.
Let's get back to your horse in the city.
I don't know why I went horse with it.
Well, you've got horse fever.
I got horse fever. but yeah, like a car. Yeah, I think she just like she's grown up in a rural kind of environment. She can get nasty in a ship.
She knows how to like do donuts and hand emergency brake turns, parking brake turns.
I assume there's a Walmart parking lot on this planet.
Yeah.
They
all hang out outside their ships and just loiter.
That's what they do on Friday.
And while she's at Walmart, run in and get some carrots for the horse.
Oh, there you go.
There's a horse here. So what's wrong with me, do you think? I'm on board. Do you think, are there people who are like, why can't she do it right away? Like, are there people upset about that?
Yeah.
There's people who are mad. Like, how come she can do this? How come she can, why does she know how to talk to, you know, BB-8 or everything?
People got mad at Star Wars?
Imagine that.
People have emotions around it?
They kept it under wraps. They didn't want to ruin it for everyone else. But yeah, some people.
I mean, they didn't run around shouting about it, certainly. Yeah. And then we get to this, the Falcon flying into space, which is such a, speaking of things that are Star Wars-y but new, this is just so, I don't know how many times have we seen that kind of shot, like the Falcon flying off a planet into space.
Yeah.
From that angle. Like, here's the planet, here's the Falcon.
On that note, had we ever seen the Falcon flying around? I guess we have.
We've seen the Falcon flying around.
I couldn't remember if we'd seen it like on a planet before, if it was always in space, but we've seen it on a planet before.
Not very much, though.
Yeah, not flying around too much. Yeah.
Mostly just coming, just taking off and landing.
Yeah. Although, so speaking of which, this is minute 36 of The Force Awakens, minute 36 of The Empire Strikes Back, the original cut, non-special, it's the Millennium Falcon taking off from Echo Base.
Oh.
When they're leaving, we don't get that sweet shot of here's the planet and here's the Falcon coming towards you, but we do get, you know, like Luke waves at it and was like, bye-bye, Falcon.
Yeah.
That's the dialogue.
Bye-bye, Falcon.
Yeah.
Are you really doing this?
So that's cool. It's good to see you know, it's not exactly what we were doing with Ring Theory, but it's always fun to kind of... when we started, there were a lot of direct one-to-one parallels between this and Star Wars, like the original one. It's just like, oh, in this minute, this happens, and it happens here.
Like minute to minute.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think like the first 5 minutes, like Kylo Ren shows up at the same time Vader showed up. He puts the plans in BB-8 the same minute that Leia puts the plans in R2.
It says a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, and both at the same time. It says Star Wars.
They do
and
go, that a lot.
I know.
It's really, a little on the nose.
Get a new trick, huh?
But it's kind of cool, actually, that it just happens for the first 5 minutes. It is kind of like...
I was kind of hoping they were going to keep it up just to see how much they could do. So we'll see.
Very carbon copy-ish, but it's also great. It's a great movie.
Yeah.
The little spinning when that little dialogue where they're like spinning and talking afterwards, where they're excited, bothers me a little bit. I don't know why. I think it's a performance thing. It feels very staged. Mm. It doesn't feel real to me. I don't know why.
I can see what you mean.
It doesn't feel real like people shooting lasers at each other would.
Right. Or spaceships flip-flopping.
Well, weirdly, that's the kind of stuff that could stand out as fake, because we all know what that's like when people talk at the same time. Especially being podcasters, we all know what it's like when people talk at the same time.
Yes, we all know what it's like when we talk at the same time.
Let's do that one again. Let's take it again. Maybe that's why it's unrealistic, is because you can kind of clearly understand what they're saying, and they just keep both speaking in a complete sentence as opposed to that stop start that happens when two people are.
Let me say, just having done the research for this, it's more annoying in the script because of the way that it's written, like, not clearly in two columns, and it's just looking at it like after, you know, watching the minute, then I went to look at it and I was like,
just piece it together.
Yeah, it's like
go back and forth between characters.
It's like one block, and it switches between the two of them, but within lines. Within a line, it'll start with him and end with her, basically, like mid sentence. But then it's not mid. The sentence doesn't start over. I don't know. It's irritating.
Bizarre.
So nobody read this page in the script. I'm warning you now.
You're gonna be tempted, but don't do it.
Yeah.
Another nostalgic sound in this one is the sound when BB-8 cuts himself down from those ropes and bounces on the ground, and it sounds just like a kickball from school.
Which doesn't seem right to me. It doesn't seem like that's the noise he should
make. It should be more just like a gunk, like a bowling ball sound.
Because they use it a few times. How much does he weigh?
Is he a heavy guy?
They seem kind of like they're struggling. In a future minute, they pick him up, and I feel like they're kind of struggling to pick him up.
I think it changes depending on how funny it is.
I thought it was like 40 pounds.
Yeah?
Oh, I remember looking it up when Poe was running away. Because like, wouldn't it just be easier to pick BB-8 up and run with him? Right. But 40 pounds, that would be tough to run carrying.
Although now I'm totally picturing him like Batman, like some days you can't get rid of a bomb, like him holding like BB-8 and running around like, oh.
You guys like BB-8 in general?
I do. I don't like the ropes thing that he was. I don't know why that bugs me, but it does.
Really?
I don't like the ropes.
It's a little Spider-Man.
He's your little Spider-Man. Who's your little Spider-Man?
Who's your little Spider-Man?
But no, I think he's cool. Mm-hmm. As a 7-year-old would say, I think he's cool. I think he's a fun little character. And I remember having I think everybody's mind was blown that first time.
Celebration.
That we found out that it was like a real, I remember even, actually, I'm gonna call him out.
Me?
Friend of all of ours, Matt Belknap.
Sure.
I remember seeing him the day after, actually, because it was when they used to do Podcast-a-thon the day after Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
That was when the first trailer for Force Awakens dropped, and there was that quick shot of BB-8 in the trailer. That was the first time we'd ever seen him, and I remember that next day, Matt Belknap being like, yeah, it looked great. He's like, I don't know about that ball droid thing, though. It was like, it was so obviously fake.
It totally did.
Yeah.
It looked like CG. I thought the same thing. And then as soon as they wheeled him out, I was like,
I like that in this day and age when you make a movie, it's cheaper to just build a robot. Like, we just made BB-8.
Right.
Versus, like, getting a little person to live inside of that thing for a couple hours. Mm-hmm. Like, it's an amazing feat. Like, we need a robot. I'll just build a droid. I'll just make it.
Yeah.
So cool. I like the BB-8. I remember when the film first came out, Tony, ahead of the movie even, I think, you got that toy.
Oh, yeah. Someone got it for me for my birthday. It's a little remote controlled.
Yeah, yeah. You were into it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I don't know about this. Like, I'd been burned so many times. I'm sure you hear this all the time. Those prequels burned me so hard that I just was hesitant to like anything fear of it being... I didn't like.
It's like, Todd, you want eggs? You're like, no, I don't know.
What are you going to do to them?
You knew you'd never like again after that.
I couldn't like anything. Wait, when you say eggs, do you mean Jar Jar Binks? Is there going to be a man in there talking funny? But because of that, like every time they're like, here's a new character, like, what's he like? What's he going to do?
Yeah. Right.
But he was cool. Like, I like that dude. He's great.
Mm-hmm.
You had the remote control one?
Yeah.
What use are those things? Like, do you play with them for like 5 minutes and then be like, okay?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you have the dog chase it around?
Exactly. Oh, yeah. The dog hates it.
Yeah. That's mostly what they're for. Yeah.
Actually, fun little story. He hates the BB-8 thing so much. And you control it with your phone through an app. And when you open the app, it plays the Star Wars theme.
Mm-hmm.
And he hates it so much that he now knows the Star Wars music.
Oh, wow.
If I play the Star Wars theme song on my phone, it has to be from my phone, though.
It's for that teeny, tiny little speaker
sound.
And
if I start playing it, he will immediately start looking around and barking.
He's an BB-8 intruder.
He might love BB-8.
Aww.
Yeah, I think it's... I don't know. I think it's just... I'm sure it blows his mind. Yeah. It kind of blew my mind the first time I saw it, and I'm not a dumb dog.
Yeah, he thinks it's fake, like Matt Belknap.
What about you guys? Thumbs up, BB-8? Thumbs down?
Later, thumbs up. I think I can't think of anything. Sometimes he gets a little too cutesy, but overall, it's fine, and I do like him. I was... it's the same story. I was won over once I saw that it was real, and then I think, especially in this movie, a lot of the time he's put to good use comedically and just kind of does good droid things.
Yeah.
I feel like you guys with the TIE fighter. Like, oh, I don't want to like BB-8, but I got to admit he's cute. Yeah. So I will give him a pass.
Plus, my daughter calls him BB-8, so that's even cuter.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. On that note, that's all I had for 36. Do you guys have anything else specific to 36?
No, I don't think I did.
No?
No.
Right. Well, can you guys come back tomorrow for another episode?
I asked my wife, but I think I can get here.
All right.
I also have to ask Todd's wife.
All right. We'll take a break. We'll call Todd's wife. We'll come back. Hopefully, we'll see you. Maybe Alex won't be here tomorrow. Oh, maybe she'll be really selective.
She's like that sometimes.
Yeah.
Here's who's on the podcast. It'll be Tony and Pete. The end.
Hey, if you, in the meantime, if somebody doesn't show up tomorrow and you want to hear more from them, we're on Twitter at Star Wars Minute. You guys have Twitters, right? You guys are Twitterers.
Twitter.com.
Yeah, you're at twitter.com. Tony, where are you? Todd, where are you?
I'm at Todd Cooper. I mostly use it to yell at companies who wrong me.
Right, of course. Which is a good... green room story that we'll get back to about that. Individually, Alex, you are on Twitter at...
@ArobTwit.
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 And I'm Pete the Retailer.
BothTheRetailer.com.
In real life, .com, and on Twitter. So you can check us all out, and then we will meet you back here tomorrow for a brand new episode of Star Wars Minute.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.